announcements. I'm just going to highlight just a couple of these. First off, we are in our season of Lent. Amen. And part of Lent is sacrificial giving. And so the Hattie B. Skinner Circle is Lenten mission project for 2020 is to purchase alpaca. And so we have our alpaca right there, along with some information about the alpacas. And there is a collection jar in the back. As you'll see in your bulletin, the alpaca cost $150. So keep that in mind as far as your sacrificial giving for Lent. These will help go to people to learn how to take care of the alpacas and to help increase the resources of people in Latin America. Vista, is there anything that I missed on this?
No, they don't have to give a whole $150.
Anything they want to give, right? Okay. We'd like to purchase a 10 alpaca is the goal. So anything that you give will be used and blessed by the Lord. Amen? Tomorrow night is our trustee meeting at 7 o'clock. It'll be right in the Philip Roselle room. Everybody is invited to the trustees meeting. You're welcome to bring up any ideas of things that we need to do as far as care or projects in regards to the upkeeps of our building as well as our grounds. So everybody's welcome to the trustees meeting. You'll see also the Hattie B. Skinner Circle is meeting at 1:30. Is there any other announcements? Just wanted to say that the soup sale was a big success. We got any soup left over?
I have 10 quarts of dry lima beans ready and available.
Okay, so we have 10 quarts of dry lima beans to see Joe after the service because you need to get your dry llamas. Amen? Amen. All right. So, as we have begin our season of Lent, we have before us a seven candelabra, and we're going to be extinguishing each one of those candles in our period of Lent. So, I'd like to ask Diane and Alan to come forward to extinguish our first Lenten candle.
Oh,
I talked to Grace this week, and she was accepted at Duke's Divinity School. Right. So that's one down, and she has, I think, three more applications in.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. She's got three more that she's booked resumes in, so we'll see. And then she'll decide which one she'll go to in the fall. So we give thanks and praise to God. Amen? Any other praises this morning? Yes, Alan?
I'm praising God that my sister and her wonderful husband Jack have been so committed to bringing her grandchildren up in the church. It really does my heart good to see her here. We love you.
Have a praise I want to share. Dad and I were able to travel up to Centerville yesterday and have a wonderful time, fellowship, and just joining in the praises of the Lord and digging deeper into what He's called us to do in the body of Christ as we were learning through leadership classes yesterday. And oh my, did we have church? I mean, we had church yesterday. I was so excited. I was like ready to dance. It was wonderful. So if you ever get the opportunity, or you ever hear about a class, or are you, there's nothing like plugging into the body of Christ and to be able to celebrate that with other believers and different opportunities and learning so much. Just say yes. So thank you.
Awesome. Any other praises? I had the opportunity yesterday to officiate my cousin's wedding. It was going to be an outdoor wedding, turned to be an inside wedding because the wind was blowing us everywhere. But we give thanks and praise for God bringing Mike and Janet together, and pray that they will continue to keep Jesus Christ in the center of their marriage. Amen? Amen. Prayer concerns. Do we have any prayer concerns? No prayer concerns? Certainly we want to keep in prayer those that are dealing with the coronavirus. I mean, it's going all over the world, and it's affecting every single country in the world, and right now they don't know at this point how to contain it. So we need to pray for God's intervention into this. Yes, can we get a microphone up here, Lynn?
I'm not sure of the name, but it happened over at Seaford Elementary School, where this girl, she's only 11, and it was two other 11-year-olds. They recorded all this. They beat the girl up right in school, and she has a concussion. And now, since they had it all recorded and knew what they were going to do, they charged them as an adult, the two that beat her up, and they cannot be back in the school system. So I just want to be on the prayer list for their family and keep her in mind.
Exactly.
You know, I want to say one other thing too. I've been keeping up with a little magazine that comes out monthly called Voice of the Martyrs. And we need to, as much as we need to pray for fires and people and animals and things like that, we really need to keep in mind our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted in communist countries. Speaking of the coronavirus, there was a individual in North Korea who was found to have the coronavirus. He went swimming in a pool, and because that was not allowed, they shot him. And we have in China mass surveillance systems being put up that if you pray in your own home, you are subject to being taken by the authorities and sent to a re-education camp. So we need to keep those people in our prayers, because there's a vast body of Christ around the world that we can't imagine how many Christians are being suffering. So keep those people in your prayers.
For the family of Milton Marcus, who passed away, and for those of you who don't know, Milton was 98, so he lived a great life. And I also want to ask prayers for the union of Justin Coleman and Courtney Ruark. They were married yesterday afternoon, and may God's blessing be upon them.
They're in love.
Just continued prayers for Paula Bodner. That's Amanda's mom and Vaughn and Spencer's mom. She starts chemo Tuesday. And just keep her in your thoughts and prayers, please.
We will. Thank you. Is there any other prayer concerns that we have? You'll take out your insert called Prayers of the People the First Sunday of Lent. Let us pray for the church, for all in need, and for the whole of God's creation, that throughout these 40 days of Lent, you may give your people hope that it is Jesus, our Lord, who leads the way and takes into his body on the cross the sins of the whole world. We may cherish your word and know that our souls are restless unless they rest in you. That all who are restless because of the pains and wounds in body or mind or spirit may find relief in the consolation of your love. That we may be your fearless people who know no bounds to the expression of your mercy and never feel ashamed of your extending your love to the stranger. For all the saints who now are at rest, that we may learn from their example of wholeness in your grace. Into your healing, wounded hands for our sake, we commend all for whom we pray. Amen. This time I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and gifts and our offerings.
morning, church.
Good morning.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, found on page 74 of your pew Bible. This is number 4 out of the Ten Commandments. Remember when we had the blue laws and everything was closed on Sundays? Boy, have we missed the mark on this one. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant, manservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand if you are able to sing hymn number 2244, In the Faith We Sing hymnal, and then remain standing for the reading of the gospel message. Message is from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, found on page 1020 in your pew Bible. This is a story of Jesus healing a man with a crippled hand, and on the Sabbath, in the synagogue, no less. On another Sabbath, he was in the synagogue teaching, and a man was present whose right hand was deformed. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees watched closely to see whether he would heal the man that day, since it was the Sabbath. For they were eager to find some charge to bring against him. How well he knew their thoughts. But he said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand here where everyone can see." So he did. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, "I have a question for you. Is it right to do good on the Sabbath? Or is it harm to save a life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them one by one, and then he said to the man, "Reach out your hand." And as he did, it became completely normal again. At this, the enemies of Jesus were wild with rage and began to plot his murder. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, and now we will have special music by Carla.
Thank you. time of Lent is a time marked with self-examination and repentance.
Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. This Sunday we're examining the wounds that Christ suffered for us. Our focus on this Sunday is violating the Sabbath. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, O God. We have to acknowledge our sin, our complacency, the wounds that Christ suffered for each one of us, O God, as we have violated the Sabbath. Speak to our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Luke, chapter number 6, in the 6th verse, it starts out, on another Sabbath. When you see that phrase, on another Sabbath, what happened on the other Sabbath before that, right? Well, earlier on in chapter number 6, it said, one Sabbath while Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples, they were plucking off the heads of the grain and they were rubbing the chaff of the grain out and they were eating the grain. And the Pharisees saw this happening. Of course, it was on the Sabbath day. And they said, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered, have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? They entered the house of God, and they took and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful to any but the priest to eat, and gave some to his companions. What Jesus is talking about here is actually found in 1 Samuel in the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 6. It's a story about David going into the temple at Nod. And David goes into that temple because he is fleeing from King Saul. King Saul tried to kill him. And David is fleeing away from King Saul. And he comes into this temple, and the priest Abimelech meets David there. And David says to the priest, do you have any bread? I'm starving. And the priest said, well, the only bread we have is the bread of presence. What this bread of presence was that there was a loaf of bread that was placed on the holy altar, on the table, the golden table there in the Holy of Holy areas. And in that area, the God's offering, God's gift was offered unto God, this bread of presence. The bread of presence was changed every week, but the priests were the only one could eat that, and they had to eat it in the temple. And so the priest Abimelech gives David this bread of presence, this holy bread, this consecrated bread, gives it to David, and David doesn't eat it in the temple. Matter of fact, David is eating it as he's going on the road, fleeing from King Saul, this holy bread that was only supposed to be eaten by the priest, okay? David is the one, he's not a priest, he's not of the tribe of Levi. He's eating this bread as he's going along. And this is what Jesus is referring to when he's talking about the fact that David ate the bread of presence, which it was unlawful for him to do. And Jesus ends by telling the Pharisees this: the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And that takes us back to the book of Exodus, where it says in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven or above, or is that on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And what the Pharisees were doing is they were making the laws of God an idol. Because what they were doing here is they were saying, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm following these laws. I'm holy. I'm special in the eyes of God. And Jesus says, no, you're making an idol out of these laws. And so we pick up here in verse number 6 in chapter 6 in Luke. On the Sabbath day, Jesus entered the synagogue and he taught. And there was a man there with a right whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched to see whether Jesus would cure this man on the Sabbath, to find an accusation against Jesus. So you have this man that has this withered right hand. Now, this is a terrible situation. Because if the man is a warrior, he needs both hands. He needs one for the shield, one for the sword or the spear. If he's doing labor, he needs both hands to be able to pick things up and to work. And if he can't do either one, guess what? He's not going to be able to provide food for himself or his family. And so this man is in a dire predicament. A dire predicament. And Jesus understands. And Jesus tells the Pharisee, should we do good things on the Sabbath or should we harm? Should we give life or should we take it? And you'll notice Jesus never touches the man. Jesus simply says to the man, stretch out your hand. And when he did that, the hand was completely healed. And the Pharisees, they're all upset about this because Jesus hasn't touched the man, so therefore Jesus hasn't done any work. But the man's hand is healed, and they can't prove that Jesus committed an atrocity, that he violated anything here. So they are furious, so now they've got to try to come up with something else to accuse Jesus of so that they can have Jesus put to death. But you know, Jesus tells us to not be bound by rules that prevent care and compassion for others. Jesus, he was not going to use legal precedent to stop himself from providing healing, amen? He doesn't say to this man, hey, I'd like to help you out, but it's the Sabbath, so I can't heal you on the Sabbath. That sounds pretty silly to us, doesn't it? Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. My question is to you, do we worship a God who loves us, redeems us, and makes us whole and holy? Or do we allow our lives to be filled with so much busyness in our lives that there's no room for God? Do we deny God's mission for each one of us of reconciliation and restoration? St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find peace in you, O God. Do we use our Sabbath as our own personal time to do what we want to do, instead of taking time to rest in God? Why, even the very word holiday has in its roots holy day. But have we perverted this holy day of rest by denying its value for our being, our life, and our spirituality? The Sabbath day of rest and the worship of God has taken a back seat in our society, has it not? Our churches are filled with less and less people. But we just can't simply blame youth activities and other things that are going on Sunday for all of this. We ourselves have been complacent in this. Have we lifted up the gospel message in our lives and in our worship as a community of faith so that others will see Jesus living in us? Martin Luther, commenting on what the Sabbath should be about, said, "This is a day to be lifted up, preaching for the young folk and the poor uncommon folk. You and I are the poor uncommon folk." You know, I want you to know this, though. I love y'all. I'm crazy about y'all. But you know, sometimes we try to take control of situations, don't we? Situations that we shouldn't take control of. Sometimes we say hateful and mean things to others, don't we? We need to seek forgiveness. We need to seek grace. We need to show the Jesus that is living in us, amen? Not the world that wants to come through each one of us, but the Christ that died and was crucified for each one of us. See, the Sabbath day is more than a day just to take off and sleep in. The Sabbath day should be a day that is hallowed. A day that we do acts of justice, mercy. It's just not coming to church is not enough to keep the Sabbath holy, amen? Is this not opening your Bible and reading the Bible that makes it holy, is it? But it's the acts of mercy that we learn from following Jesus that makes the Sabbath holy, that makes the Bible holy. If not, the Sabbath is just another day. The Bible is just another day. But when we start to understand and put Jesus into our lives and into the way we live our lives, then the Sabbath becomes holy. And the Bible becomes holy when we're reading the Word of God and following Christ. Amen? Our worship is centered upon this. Our worship is centered on the fact that we preach Christ crucified, amen, and risen. That when we are baptized into his death and we walk in newness of life. And when we come to eat and drink at his table, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. It's in our communion liturgy. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Did you get that? A holy and living sacrifice. It is not about us. It is all about Jesus, amen? And we are to give our lives as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we have not hallowed your day of rest. We have sought put all the things in there, the busyness of life, instead of spending time to be with you. We have violated the Sabbath by not showing Christ living in us, by not taking what we've read in your holy word and applied it to our daily living. Grace. gracious God. You love us so much. Please forgive us, O God. Help us to live for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our communion, as we prepare for communion, please stand. There is a fountain filled with blood, number 622. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your dear glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And when the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you, Father Almighty, and then he broke the bread. And he gave it to each one of his disciples, and he gives it to us this morning. He says, take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup and he lifted it up. And he gave thanks to you, Father Almighty. And then he gave the cup to his disciples. And he gives it to us this morning. He says, take, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The way that we will do communion this morning, we'll first serve Irene, and then Carla and I will come down here, come with your hands in a cup fashion. I'll break off a piece of the bread and put it in the palm of your hands. You'll come to Carla, she'll have the little cups. Take the cup and the bread back to your seats. When everybody's been served, then we'll all partake of them at the same time.
Thank you.
after the earth, but Miranda Elizabeth Letnum was born at 9:30 this morning. 6 pounds, 6 ounces, 20 and a half inches long, and everybody is doing great. May the healing presence of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Amen. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I pray, O God, that you will walk with us each and every step of the way during this season of Lent to prepare us for the Easter celebration. Yes, we have wounded you, O God, but let us know the healing that comes from your grace, your love, and your forgiveness. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.